Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, Friday, April 26th, 2019, News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm Sean, and Steve will be there in just a moment in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Fridays here on the Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Terrific specials going on through Tuesday. Schaefer and Schaefer Light 30-pack cans, $13.49, and Stella Artois, 12-pack bottles, $16.88. Grab a dolly as you head in to Brewers Outlet. Grab the cases you need, and of course, if you need some help, take it right out to the car for you. Not only your favorite brews, but also soft drinks, water. Lots of great sauces, what you have going on in the grill here as we get into the cooking season. Chips, snacks, pickle bar, of course, and ice right by the counter. All at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, the supermarket, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. You can get in touch with us with email, stevejones at wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And you can also subscribe to our podcast. You can go on the Apple Podcast app or Google Play, search Steve Jones Show, hit subscribe. And after the shows are live here on WKOK, we drop them right to your smartphone and tablet. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. Also at stevejonesshow.com, you have access to 3 months of shows. So dip back into the archive and catch another interview you may have missed, or maybe didn't get a chance to see or listen to the terrific chat that Steve had with the play-by-play voice of the Seattle Mariners, Dave Sims, earlier this week. We've got that on the podcast page at stevejonesshow.com. So we're with you live till 5, then we'll have our late-day news roundup and Phillies baseball tonight. Phillies with another tough extra-inning loss last night, kicking off a 4-game set with the Miami Marlins. Starlin Castro will continue his hot hitting tonight, looking to do that. It was 3-1 last night, Miami in 10. And it was Castro's two-run homer with two outs in the 10th off Hector Neris, the deciding factor in that game. Jose Urena will be on the mound tonight for the Marlins. He is 1-3, 5.74 ERA. And be going up against Jared Eichhoff. So 6:30 will be on deck. And first pitch at 7:05. Here on 1070 AM and on WKOK.com. While the Phillies are on, we'll have CBS Sports Radio and up to the second information on the NFL draft. Rounds 2 and 3 will happen tonight, and that'll also start in the 7 o'clock hour. So maybe we're live with the show today here on WKOK between now and 5. We may hear something about Josh Rosen being dealt from Arizona to the Cardinals. So it could happen in quick fashion. I read something not too long ago, about an hour or so ago, that Josh Rosen now no longer follows the Arizona Cardinals on Twitter. So that could be a red flag. Get it? Cardinals. Red flag. Sir. Well, look who's here.
How are you? That's good. I like that. It was funny, though, when you first said that. I'm like, Arizona Cardinals, isn't that the same thing? Oh, wait, we're talking baseball now. We're good.
That's right. Yeah. Not the D-backs.
No. I got a little confused for a
actually,
second.
Actually, Arizona right now is on the clock with the 33rd overall pick and first pick of the second round.
here's the, you know what, here was the thing last night. If you were on the clock last night, you're the Cardinals, you're on the clock. You have been on the clock now for what, 5 months?
Close.
Why do you still need to take all the time? Do you really think that somebody's going to call you at the last second and go, hey, by the way, we've got a really sweet deal for you. We're going to give you our first round pick for the next 4 years.
Yeah, it took them 70 minutes to go through only five picks last night. I didn't like that. Move it along a little faster.
Yeah, I didn't understand why it took so long. I mean, you've had all this time. If it's second or third round, yeah, I can understand taking all your time there because you've got to reevaluate everything. But man, if you're the first, second, third, or even fourth pick of the first round, you should be ready to go like that.
Yeah, we'll see if the Arizona Cardinals and Miami Dolphins will do the dance, and they'll be sending the 48th overall pick. The Dolphins would give that then to the Cardinals in exchange for Josh Rosen. So we'll have to wait and see if that happens. I think the sooner that Rosen gets out of there, the better. I just don't see both quarterbacks coexisting.
No, I don't think so either. But by the way, who said that the Steelers were moving up into the top 10 yesterday?
It was a bold move.
Somebody was talking about that through the afternoon yesterday, and I remember two gentlemen having fun with it on the radio.
Who are you talking about? Who could that possibly? Who can it be now?
Huh? Listen, the Steelers made that was a brilliant move.
It's a bold move.
I agree, and I think it's a brilliant move too.
It's a
need they desperately had. They had very little help at linebacker. Everybody they've tried in that inside has not been the type of player that they wanted or needed. You need a linebacker right now that has. And I know this is fun to say now because everybody making the comparisons, but you need a Troy Polamalu-style player at linebacker, one that can go laterally left and right. With all these quarterbacks that have movement and have all this capability of running these read options, you need a guy in the middle that can actually read and react, and the Steelers didn't have that. Plus, they also didn't have anybody that could cover a tight end very well in the middle.
When I first started going to Steelers games 25 years ago, I would always love to cheer for the defense, and I'd always call them Big Nasty D. And there's now a turning point in the NFL. It's now all about quarterback play and just throwing up lots and lots and tons of points. And in order to counterbalance that, you're going from Big Nasty D to speed and disruptive defense to keep up with the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how it is now.
Yeah, and that was a huge need, and they would not have been able to fill that need at 20. They gave up a first-round pick next year. They gave up they traded first round picks this year, and then they gave away a pick that they had already had, or a round that they had already had two picks in. So to me, this move really didn't hurt the Steelers one bit, and it was actually what they wanted to get for that pick, for the 10th pick anyway.
The key out of all this is Antonio Brown for this reason. If the Steelers did not get rid of Antonio Brown, they would not have had that extra third-round pick, and I'm 99.9% sure that move up to 10 would not have happened last night.
Oh, I agree with you, and I didn't think
Oh, what are you doing on the show? Go sell something.
I'm on the show.
Sell something.
I'm on the show to celebrate my being correct.
Okay, so once out of every 8 years we have to go through this, so mark it down. We'll be here in 2027.
We will be.
That's one thing thing about this show that people know that listen to this show. When I am wrong about something, I do say I'm wrong.
You do.
Right? And I know right now we're wrong for having you on. So
No, I felt the opportunity to
barge in,
be a little bit, blow my own horn, as it were, you know, and be bragging a little bit because I felt really good about that last night, right around pick 10.
I also thought maybe I ought to take the opportunity to congratulate Mac Catrillo on being the new voice of Shikellamy football.
I didn't get that memo.
Exactly. Well, they got the guy that if you're... Look, I... as you know, of the two Devons, they're like you can put your fingers that close as to how close they are. And probably because I saw more of him in person, I was more of a Devin Bush guy than a Devin White guy, but either one is an absolute winner. So the Steelers got exactly what they needed, and it was worth the picks.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to ask you. And
it was worth the picks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you last night. You've seen everybody in person that the Steelers were looking at, and did the trade-off work well enough for them?
Yeah, sure it did. No, he's going to have to make a payoff. He hasn't played it down yet. But you know what?
For some reason, I thought they would have gave up more for them to move up that high to the top 10. Because they've never... Last time they picked 10 was back in 2000 for Plaxico Burress.
Who'd they trade with last night?
Denver.
I was gonna, the Broncos, Denver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eh. They moved up 10 spots.
Yeah.
I just didn't think Denver... You know, they were talking about how Denver wanted so much for that pick. And to me, that wasn't... You know, outrageous at all.
Well, that's about how it worked for everybody. The Giants gave up the 37th pick and two other picks later, to pick at the end of the round and get the kid from Georgia.
The Giants, did they, player for the quarterback from Duke, was that Eli Manning picking the player to replace him?
What?
Because he went to the Mannings camps, they've been really tight with this kid all through the years.
I just wondered if it was the Giants letting him pick his successor. No, that's not how this works. Okay, this is not fantasy football and you and Suit Light sitting in a room together and you like pick guys. That's not how it works. This is Dave Gettleman of the Giants through his scouts saying, "Look, this is the guy that we want to pick." Eli Manning has nothing to do with it other than the fact that they think he's at the end. I mean, it has nothing to do with it. Zero. A player doesn't pick somebody. This is not standing on the playground and we go, 1, 2, 3, odds even, shoot, okay, I get the first pick. That's not how this works.
And Eli Manning is thinking, hey, no, this isn't the end for me. I would think in his mind he's got at least two more years in him.
Well, I agree with it, but I just thought that this is somebody he already has a connection with. He can bring him along. There's some tutelage there that he can give.
This is the Giants going in, working him out, and saying, you know what, we like how he works out. Because that's one thing I'll say about Daniel Jones is interesting, and he's interesting to evaluate, and here's the reason why. He has no pro prospects on his teams at Duke. None. He was in second in Pro Football Focus among quarterbacks and passes dropped this season. So I think he's a harder guy to evaluate because he doesn't have a lot of, quote, high-end talent around him. So if you're looking, for example, Sam Darnold last year versus a Daniel Jones this year, now, look, if I'm looking at them, to me, Darnold's the better player. So let's put that aside. But when I did a Rose Bowl, Darnold had two NFL picks blocking in front of him. He had Ronald Jones, an NFL pick at tailback. He had Juju Smith-Schuster as one of his wide receivers. He had Burnett as another wide receiver. I mean, he was operating with some pretty doggone good high-end college talent that became professional talent as opposed to Daniel Jones. Now, do I pick Jones at 6? No, I'd have picked Josh Allen if I was the Giants. If I was the Giants, I would have picked Josh Allen.
Yeah, I was shocked he fell down to Jacksonville.
And I'd have waited until 17 to see if Daniel Jones was still there. I mean, among the quarterbacks, after Murray, Jones was the second guy I thought of. Better than Haskins. But not, you know, but if you're saying, okay, you got him, but not at 6. And I think they could have gotten him at 17. And who's going to be in between them and him? Because the Redskins were all hot and bothered about Haskins. Everybody knew that. And if they misread that, then... So I just looked at him and went, what are you doing? I didn't get the spot at 6. I mean, I thought the Eagles made a great move going up a couple spots to get Dillard. I mean, there's Peter's replacement at left tackle. That was a great move by the Eagles. The Steelers made a great move to get Devin Bush. He's going to make it pay off, but he made a great move. The Buffalo Bills made a great move by not moving. And they got Ed Oliver. They had exactly the guy they wanted and didn't have to move to do it. So sometimes a great move is made by not moving. And then there's the Raiders draft. Really? Like, all three picks? We're all like, really? Really?
I said to Sean, I wanted Mayock to go on NFL Network and kind of explain why he did what he did, the way he would have to do it if he was on the show.
He was on Total Access way after midnight. I had to call it a night after that, but I didn't get a chance to see it. But yeah, the guy who was taken number four, it was very grainy, low def video that they were showing on NFL Network. Looks like the party was in his garage. Put some disco lights up and there's like a white backdrop.
Well, I mean, I think they could have gotten him with three first-round picks. They could have picked him up later in the first round.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah, he had him like in his between 20 and 30. Yeah, the kid who went number four. Yeah.
I mean, I think they could have picked him up then.
It goes back to what we were saying earlier this week. I think we said it yesterday, first hour of the show. It's just all about, just too many teams. They overthink it. And they're just concerned that that guy's not going to be available with my next pick down the line. I better take him now before I never get that opportunity again.
Then they get a running back. I mean, you're going to tell me that, like, Miles Sanders is not as good as Jacobs is? I could pick up Miles Sanders tonight. I'd be just as well off as picking that guy. Then their last pick is a box safety. Really? A box safety? Now, I had said yesterday that I thought that the NFL this year's draft had probably 20 legitimate first-round picks in it. Well, when Darnell Savage was picked at 21, it proved my point. So, because I'll sit there and I'll look at a tape. And let's just take Ohio State. See, you turned his mic down. See, that's the power you have.
No. I did that willingly. I did that willingly.
You had to cough.
You had to cough?
No, I didn't.
Is there a doctor in the room?
No.
All right. So when I look at a tape, I'll give you, let's take Ohio State as an example. Okay. So I look over Nick Bosa. I say, okay, there's a problem. Then I'll look at, 86 Draymond Jones. Well, he's a problem. And the other couple guys, Hamilton. I don't sit there and look at Hamilton as a, quote, problem. I looked at Chase Young, who had replaced Bosa. I said, problem. None of the linebackers maybe say that. Then I look at, Kendall Sheffield at corner. I was like, problem. All right. So, I mean, that's how I start looking at when I'm watching a tape of a team. I'll say, problem, no problem, problem, no problem. I've watched Darnell Savage on tape the last 3 years. How many times in those 3 years do you think I sat back and turned off the tape and said, nah, four is a problem? How about none? Not one time did I look at it and go, boy, let's keep away from Savage. He is one. Zero. I'm watching the Kentucky tape. Edwards, safety, problem. Johnson, corner, Lonnie Johnson, problem. Josh Allen, big problem. Right. Darnell Savage. If you're listening to me, the people, I go, in the Big Ten, who's a big problem guy? He's not the guy. Green Bay picked him. He's their problem. But I don't see what they're seeing. Somebody said to me, the metrics. I said, I don't care about the metrics. I got a tape here that tells me not a problem. Like over and over and over again looking at tape and saying he's not a problem. Then there's Haskins. The Redskins got their guy. They were desperate. They wanted their guy. One thing about Haskins, you know what the Haskins biggest advantage is? Limited tape. He played in Beaver Stadium. I watched him. Did he make some good plays? Absolutely. But that's the deal. He made some good plays. He didn't play well against Penn State at all. And guess what? When he's pressured, he is not athletic enough and does not have a very good grasp of the 3-foot circle you've got to work in to make plays. Just doesn't. He is not creative at quarterback. Not creative. We were just talking about Eli Manning. What's Eli's biggest problem right now? He's not creative. Remember the play in the Super Bowl where David Tyree made that incredible catch? Okay. What did Manning do on that play? Now, this is Eli Manning from 8 years ago. What did he do on that play?
He should have been sacked. Everybody remembers the catch part. Remember the front part. The front part was Eli Manning was creative enough to get out of trouble when he was legitimately dead to rights sacked, and he got out of it and then made the pass downfield. Now, that's Eli Manning 8 years ago. So even a guy that's limited in mobility can still do that. Well, Manning in his prime could. He can't do it now. He can't do it now. But that's Haskins now. He can't get out of trouble and make a throw. Now, do I think he has a strong arm? Do I think he's for the... But you know what? You watch when he has to move, his accuracy gets flushed. And your guy, Devin Bush, will allow you to celebrate a little longer. Please, go ahead. You may celebrate.
He wants me to play Carlos Santana's winning as bump music today. And I'm thinking, no. Not for you.
All right. Remember, was it the Cardinals this year were, 3-13?
If not that, very close.
Yeah, I think they were 3-13. Is he still sitting there?
He is right here by my right shoulder.
Yeah. The Cardinals were 3-13, which, by the way, means they won 3 times this year and still ended up with the first overall pick. Do you see where I'm going with this?
He's not, no.
And frankly, I'm not surprised. But he was dead right. They did move up. I was dead wrong. I said, when I say sarcastic, they'll never move up. In a million years, they'll never move up. The Steelers never move up. Well, I was dead wrong. You were absolutely right. But they did pick the guy that, if I had a choice to pick, like I'm sitting there saying, okay, put everybody up on the board. Who do you pick? If I'm the Steelers, I'd pick anybody on the board. Devin Bush would have been my first pick based on need, what he can do, and so forth. Now, and Devin White would have been like, I think for me, it's a bit prejudicial on Devin Bush because between Bush and White, I've seen Bush play in person how many times, seen a lot of tape on him as opposed to only watching White on TV a few times. So that's my prejudice toward Bush over White. I think you'd win with either guy. He ended up with a great pick. It's a great pick by the Steelers. I had a great pick by the Eagles. I thought the Eagles did a great job picking. And as for Daniel Jones, you know, to have my son pick that high... This is my last show. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones' favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Hi, this is Steve Jones inviting you to be part of the 28th Annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We'll kick off the event with a special broadcast on WKOK Tuesday, May 7th, starting at 3 at Penn's Tavern, south of Sunbury. Wednesday, May 8th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Golf the four-person scramble and win great prizes. Openings are still available for the morning flight. To sign up your team today and for more information, call the Sunbury Y at 570-286-5636.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors 4. Sunbury Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever ever offered to the general public. Now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the Northwest Street Auto Plaza.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the Brewers Outlet specials between now through Tuesday. Schaefer and Schaefer Light 30-pack cans, $13.49. And Stella Artois 12-pack bottles, $16.88. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. In the transfer portal, it extends to basketball. Rushier Bolton has put his name into the transfer portal. All right. The NBA playoffs resume. We'll talk more about the draft next half hour. Rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Could be 3 Penn State names tonight. So, the Sixers in the East, the top 4 seeds all advanced. So the 4 seed, the Celtics, get the 1 seed Milwaukee. The 2 seed Toronto will get the 3 seed Philadelphia. That series, by the way, starts tomorrow night. And let's go Daily News and Inquirer. Marcus, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, fellas.
All right, let's start with round one. They take the Nets out. You know that they're the better team. You know they have more talent. But what did they show you in round one that shows that this is not just a round one win and that they played really well?
Well, the underlying narrative for the Sixers this season, as with every season since the quote-unquote process began, it revolves around the health of the team. And down the stretch, after the Sixers acquired Tobias Harris to pair him with Jimmy Butler, who they got in November, and of course Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid had knee tendonitis, probably resulted from knee injury and surgery 2 years ago that cost him 14 of the last 24 games, which meant the Sixers entered the playoffs having only played their starting 5 together for 10 games. But to answer your question, what it shows you is how good this team can be when Joel Embiid isn't involved and incorporated in for a sustained period of time. He played 4 of the 5 games against the Nets. They lost the first one and won the next 4. He didn't play game 3, which they happened to win. But when he's on the court with this team, they can contend. They can contend with the Milwaukee Bucks. They can contend with both Houston and Golden State. And they can contend with a very deep, very experienced Raptors team, which has, you know, a team that has probably the best all-around player in basketball on it in Kawhi Leonard.
All right, you brought up Kawhi Leonard, so let's go with that because matchups mean everything. Ben Simmons has done a nice job of making everybody around him better. But Kawhi Leonard, in his own right, is an excellent defender, but he's also a very physical defender. What does that physicality mean for Simmons in a series like this?
Well, I don't know what it's going to mean in this series because Ben has only played 2 seasons. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds to Kawhi's physicality in this series. And, of course, Kawhi didn't play Ben at all last year, Ben's rookie year. Right. And then he dominated him in the 3 games that they played. I mean, I think Ben Simmons scored 17 points and committed 10 turnovers, 3 of them offensive fouls, when Kawhi Leonard was on him for, it was like 100 possessions or something, something this year. It was just utter domination of an all-star point guard. So Yeah, that's one of the biggest questions. How will Ben Simmons manage being frustrated and bullied and outfoxed by, to my estimation, by far the best all-around player and probably the best defender, off-ball defender, on-ball defender, versatile defender in the league in Kawhi Leonard? I mean, we're seeing from Kawhi Leonard what we saw from Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan when they were, you know, nine-time all-first team defensive players who also scored a lot. I mean, he's just he's probably the best all-around player in the league right now.
All right, now what about the matchup with Embiid? What can Embiid do to exploit the Raptors, not only inside, but his ability to also step outside? What can that mean?
Well, my contention when Marc Gasol was traded to the Raptors from Memphis, a trade that, and I guess, you know, in Toronto, they say the trade was initiated by the Memphis Grizzlies, I'm sorry, and in Memphis they say that the trade was initiated by Toronto.
Right.
Probably because nobody wants to upset Kyle Lowry, right, who was involved in early trade talks. But when they made that trade, it was clear to me that the Raptors saw Joel Embiid taking another step forward and said, let's go out and get the best Joel Embiid defender we can find, and that's probably Marc Gasol. Right. So how Marc Gasol deals with Joel Embiid, who has developed further, but also who is not in great shape because of his injury down the stretch, and also is, you know, he just went through a net series where he was able to bully Jared Allen, a guy who gives up 50 pounds. He's not able to bully Marc Gasol. He's not able to play mind games with Marc Gasol.
Right.
And if he commits flagrant fouls or fouls that are hard enough to be considered intimidation fouls, you know, the Toronto Raptors aren't going to worry about it. So it's a big difference how Joel Embiid deals with the physicality and the experience and the talent of Marc Gasol. You know, that to me is the subplot. That to me is the secondary story here.
What about the benches in this one? What can the Sixers bench mean to their success? Because obviously a lot of these bench players had to play during the course of the season and start because the starters were only together for a handful of games.
Yeah, that's really been one of the disappointments down the stretch since the trade deadline. James Ennis played well. He's a swingman who can play defense, but Kawhi destroys him as well.
He destroys everybody. Marcus, is I'm going to play that sentence back. There we go.
Exactly.
Kawhi
over
destroys
and over
everybody.
Again.
Yeah.
On a loop. But James Ennis he played well against the Nets, but he's not an answer. Mike Scott has plantar fasciitis in his foot. He's going to miss the first game tomorrow evening. He's probably their number one bench player, like the most versatile guy. They have a huge issue in the TJ McCollum. He's just undressed defensively. In the playoffs when you can target him, and you can't have him and J.J. Redick, another inferior defensive player, on the court at the same time. So you have to have J.J. Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler pick up the slack at point guard. So you have to change how your team works. So, yeah, it's a really, I don't know, it's a really difficult call for the Sixers. Their bench just hasn't played. Boban Marjanovic did not have a good series against the Nets. If you make him be mobile, you've got him at your mercy. You know, he's a foul machine. The Raptors bench is clearly superior, and if it's not the difference in the series, it'll be a huge factor. I think honestly, it'll be the difference. I can't see these benches matching up anywhere near evenly.
Right. What kind of job has Brett Brown done keeping this group together?
It's just been spectacular. I mean, 2 years ago, he increased the win total by something like 28 games. This year, he matched what he did, except he never had a team. He never had a cohesive team for more than 6 or 8 games at a time. It's just been unbelievable, the job that he's done after 4 years of, you know, the management losing on purpose, changing the personnel, injury woes. I mean, every single first round pick, and every single lottery pick they had in the first round missed significant time within their first 2 seasons. So he's just been unreal. So in Philadelphia, it's funny. I don't know what the sickness is. but there's a fire Brett Brown contingent because, well, he didn't beat the Celtics last year. He was out coached by, you know, Brad Stevens, which is that's no slight. Brad Stevens is a wonderful coach. He doesn't win close late games. Well, you know, give him a team for 25 games in a row, and maybe that team will be more efficient in the last 5 minutes. And, you know, essentially, Joel Embiid is really kind of in his, you know, he's second going on third season. His point guard played power forward until last year. Right. It's just been wonderful to watch what he's done and painful to watch the criticism of him, which isn't warranted because there's just not enough evidence.
Look, I think that he's now showing that when he actually has legit NBA top-level personnel, he has chops. I think it's the opposite. I think he's showing me he has the chops.
When he's given a chance, I mean, nobody expected the Sixers to reach the playoffs last season, much less, you know, be the favorite and dominate in a first round win over Miami. And I can't tell you the level of discontent after they lost game one to the Nets, you know, in a game where Joel Embiid could only play 20 minutes. It's just ridiculous what has beset him over the last two seasons. And, you know, there are a lot of people in Philadelphia who didn't believe in, quote-unquote, the process. And the process, I thought, was a fraud. It was a Sam Hinkie, let's lose and clear calorie sap space indefinitely plan. That's not a plan. That's just a that's just a deconstruction. You and I could do that without purpose. And, you know, the players that they had at that time that Brett had to coach, they were not supporting them with veterans who could help those players improve. They were just losing and losing and losing. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. It doesn't take genius. It takes an owner who doesn't care, and that's what they have in Josh Harris, who also owns the New Jersey Devils.
Right.
But, yeah, it is what it is. He's done a wonderful job. He's doing a wonderful job. And I'll tell you this. If Brett Brown were to get fired in the next 3 or 4 weeks, say they lose in six to Toronto, he would be hired before he left the facility.
Yes.
I mean, it's just that simple. He's a spectacular coach and deserves a lot more credit than he gets.
As I always say to critics in any situation such as this one, be careful what you wish for.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, everybody in Philadelphia, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people in Philadelphia are like, well, you know, if they would just hire Jay Wright from Villanova, it would all be better. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I like Jay, and he's a wonderful college coach, but the NBA is a different animal.
Yeah, in fact, Billy Donovan holding on one.
Yeah. Fred Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg. You mean Nebraska head coach Fred Hoiberg.
That's right.
Marcus, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me anytime.
Marcus Hayes, Inquirer Daily News, Philadelphia. More on the draft. Could we see three Penn Staters maybe tonight? Miles Sanders, Amani Oyewariye, and Connor McGovern. This might be their night. We'll see. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. All right, so Kyler Murray, first overall. Josh Rosen saying, hey, really? If Rosen is not dealt tonight, if I'm the Cardinals brass, which obviously I'm not, then I wait. I wait until the season gets going. You know, see if you can get yourself in a position where it's Sam Bradford to the Vikings all over again. Why not? I mean, why not? Then you're looking at a team saying, hey, your first round pick next year in 2020, hey, you guys need a quarterback. We've got one. What do you say?
Yeah, they pick first right out of the gate tonight in the second round. So, yeah, we'll find out if they, you know, they may move down. Maybe someone else may. Like Miami could.
Miami might. But, again, you've got to be able to make a deal. In other words, the Cardinals are not going to give up their first pick tonight. The deal is to trade Josh Rosen and you get their pick. You get a 2 this year, maybe a 3 next year. Or maybe the Steelers will deal Devin Bush, and thus the victory party will then have to be halted.
You just want to see how fast he'll leave his office and fly back into the studio.
Well, those are words I never thought I'd hear in the same sentence.
Suit and fly.
The last time we saw it move that quickly was the announcement on the loudspeaker that Dunkin' Donuts had just brought over 2 dozen to the break room.
Where's break the coffee? Room. Coffee. Yeah, box of Joe. Room. 2 boxes of Joe, right?
He sent me a text. I had to jump in today. I texted back, why?
It all falls on me. I'm the one that turned his mic on, so.
Well, it is the end of the month, and obviously an appearance on this show means it must have been an absolutely huge banner month.
They were good till August now, right?
If you say so.
His favorite month of the year.
Well, based on last year's sales in digital media, it was not Roger's favorite.
Numbers never lie.
That was a good one, Rog.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Unfortunately accurate. All right, so today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.